Greetings, radio friends. Once again, we have the blessed privilege of coming your way by means of radio, bringing the wonderful gospel of our Savior and Jesus Christ to you and radio land. We pray unto the Lord that these thoughts today may be a blessing to us as we study God's Word together. This program is sponsored by the Church of God of Resurrection Hope, a Church of God of Abrahamic Faith, located on the Walt Arney Road in the Whitnall section of Lenoir, North Carolina, if you're not here at any time. You have a cordial invitation to worship with us. The Sunday school is 9:30 each Sunday morning. Morning worship 10:30 and the evening message at 7 o'clock and midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening. In Psalms 119 and 1 we find, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And we're going to talk about the great blessing in the way of the Lord today. We invite you to join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise thee for all the blessings you bestowed upon thy people and upon all men of the world today. We thank thee for the glorious golden privilege of being saved through Jesus Christ as we come believing upon thy Son and our Lord. We pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding that we may be more effective in our Christian experience. We may do the things that are pleasing to thee, that we may be helpful to our friends and our neighbors, and to even our enemies, that we would bring about a blessing of God's grace to all men as we labor for the Lord. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you pour out your Spirit upon those in radio land, that you would touch our hearts in a mighty way, that if any man be far away from God, lost and undone, that today he would want to make his life to come into the power and under the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ, that he might be saved. We pray for those that are sick and those in bonds and distress to bless them. Bless widows, orphans, sick and afflicted, and the shut-ins. We pray, our Father, to give our leaders of the nation wisdom and understanding to guide and direct in this hour and to do the things that are pleasing in thy sight. Touch our hearts that we all may live the Christian experience daily as we serve the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. A great blessing comes to those who are undefiled in the way of righteousness and truth in the Lord, who walk in the law of the Lord. They keep God's testimonies. They seek him with their whole heart, not part of the heart, but the whole heart. And lastly, they also do no iniquity. And that's something to think about. That's a great blessing to be able to do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Today, are you one of those blessed ones who are undefiled and you're in the way of the Lord? Are you walking in God's way? Are you doing no iniquity? When one speaks of living a holy life, a clean life, and of people doing no iniquity, people begin to smile and smirk and respond quickly. And they say, "Oh, but you cannot live in this world without sinning constantly." Let us look at the Word of God. 1 John 3:8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Verse 9, "Whosoever is begotten of God doth not commit sin, for God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is begotten of God." Romans 6, 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, or continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" This is very sharp, it's concise, and it's right to the point. Are you dead to sin? If you are, how can you live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life, or the new way of living. Think about it, beloved. Are you walking in the newness of life that flows from the Lamb of God to every Christian who's been begotten of God? Knowing this is something we ought to know. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, made of no effect, that from henceforth we should not serve sin. The redeemed of the Lord, the ransomed of Zion, are to never serve sin. They are come to Christ. Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether it be of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" Verse 21, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Now being made free from sin. How? Why, in Christ Jesus, through the ministration of the Holy Spirit, you've been made free from sin, and you're now walking in the Spirit, in the power of God. Or are you still walking in sin after you've come to Christ? Way back there, 3,000 years ago, David said that they also do no iniquity. Just what kind of church will the Lord receive to himself when he comes? Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without a blemish. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. Can you imagine the wife not being ready? And it was granted to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Friend, when is your heart to be made pure? Is it possible for us to go out of this life unprepared with an unpure heart and then come to the judgment of seat of Christ and of God and discover we have not a pure heart? And yet be saved, discover that we're not arrayed in the righteousness of the saints, discover that we've got all kinds of spots and blemishes, discover that we're defiled with sin. Friend, the time to obtain a pure heart is right now today. The time to make yourself ready for the Lord is right now, this very minute. When the Lord comes, can you imagine that he will clean up the bride as she goes up the aisle to meet the Lord in the air? Let me tell you something now, friend. If you're not ready when Jesus descends with a shout, you will not be caught up. How can we be ready if we're living and alive in sin and living in sin, and when the trumpet sounds, it takes place, and we're not walking in the new way of living? How in the world do we expect to be caught up? Psalms 30:4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Be still. Now, did we hear the thought projected by David? Stand in awe and sin not, the psalmist said in Psalms 15:1-5. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. How can we expect to abide in the tabernacle of God? How can we hope to dwell in his holy hill if we walk any other way than the upright way? How can we expect to dwell in the holy hill of God if we're working unrighteousness in our lives and speaking lies in our hearts? How can we expect the blessing of the Lord if we backbite with our tongues, if we do evil to our neighbors? Again, the psalmist said in Psalms 24, he asked this question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. If our hands are dirty with grime and filth of sin, we cannot rise up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air when he comes. We are defiled. If we have an impure heart, we're full of sin. Like Simon the sorcerer, who was converted, baptized, yet he wasn't right with God. And Peter told him, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Pray God that perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Can holy, righteous thinking be demanded of those who are going to walk in the newness of life in Christ? They most certainly can, for the newness of life in Christ is the holy, righteous way of living day by day in Jesus Christ. As Paul told Titus, from Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly. When and where? Why, right now in this present world. We live by the righteousness of our Lord. And this righteousness of the Lord flows into our very beings by the power of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, would God's Spirit lead you to sin, friend? Never, never, never. There is now, therefore, Paul said, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Back to Psalms 24, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor made his soul be partaker of or delight in vain things, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. He shall receive the righteousness from God. This is what Jesus reminded us of in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're to seek two things first. Number one, the kingdom of God. Number two, the righteousness of God. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. We must have the input from God into our lives by his word of truth, by the spirit of holiness, even the righteousness which cometh to us by the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, David said in Psalms 39:1, I will take heed of my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. To sin with the tongue is one of the greatest temptations of all times. And James said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships, though they are great, are driven with fierce winds, and are turned about with a very small helm. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it is a world of afar, and it's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, it has been tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made into the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. Let's remember that. If a man not a careful person about how he takes heed to his tongue, he will sin with his tongue. The very best we can do with our tongues, we find they're hard to control. Someone makes us angry, irritates us. The first thing we do is to go in action with our sharp tongue. When Jesus saves a man, he saves his tongue also. If a person is a child of God, his tongue is sanctified, filled with the love of God. No man can tame it, but the power of God's salvation can. The Holy Spirit can use the tongue for the glory of God. David said, Psalms 101:2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What a wonderful resolution he made for the wise and perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalms 119:54, thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. So I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I keep thy law. The righteous person is aware in the middle of the night. His mind and his heart is set on God, because when he went to bed, God was on his mind. When he gets up in the morning, God is on his mind. What is a sinner? Let us look at one definition, friends. Psalms 10:4. The wicked, through the pride of his counsel, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. I pray that God's in all your thoughts today. May he bless you, is our prayer.